Radiotopia.
Welcome to the Kitchen Sisters present.
From PRX.
We're the Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson
and Nikki Silva.
Hi, I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life in prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts. The Kitchen Sisters Present is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Welcome to the Kitchen Sisters Present.
Today's episode, The Nights of Edith Piaf. She rose every day at dusk, sang, rehearsed, performed, ate, and drank until dawn. Then she slept all day, woke up and began to create and unravel again as the sun went down. Nearly every song Edith Piaf sang was from a moment of her life from the streets of Paris. She would tell her composer and musician lovers a story, or describe a feeling, or show them a gesture. "Write me a song about being lonely in London on a Sunday," she'd say. And they would put music and words to her pain and passion, giving her back her own musical autobiography. Charles Aznavour, Francis Lay, Georges Moustaki, Henri Conté, some of France's greatest musicians recall their nights with Edith Piaf.
This is a broadcast between the cities of Paris and New York, between the Statue of Liberty and the Eiffel Tower.
Paris, can you hear me?
Yeah. Hello. Hello.
We have with us today a young lady from Paris who has captivated New York. She is to France what all our most popular singers are to us. She's Miss Edith Piaf. Today, she is paying her first visit to the Statue of Liberty. Naturally, she's thrilled to talk to the Eiffel Tower in her native land from here. A.D.
Allô, bonjour Paris, bonjour tout le monde.
Bonjour, Edith Piaf.
C'est tout ce qu'on peut dire. Dites donc, est-ce que vous avez froid?
You know, I am going to sing an old song which I know you all love as well as I love it. I used to know a little square back in Paris when I was small. All summer long it had a fair, wonderful fair with the swings and all. I used to love my little fair.
My name is René Martigny. L'association des amis d'Edith Piaf.
He is with the association of Edith Piaf, the people that keep Edith Piaf's memory alive.
Je suis membre d'honneur de qui fait visiter le Père Lachaise.
He is the caretaker who comes to her tomb every day to clean her tomb, put flowers on it. How many people come to see Edith
Piaf? La moyenne, c'est une moyenne de 2 à 300 par jour.
200 to 300 a day.
Le jour de la Toussaint, il y en a 6 à 7000 qui défilent ici.
Il y a 6 7000 people on the saint days.
Il y avait le poste de radio qui chantait Je ne regrette rien.
The most eccentric thing that happened on the tomb of Edith Piaf was a man that brought his cassette radio and player, put it on the tomb with her singing No Regrets, and he'll just look around in all his love for the moment.
America knows Piaf as a dramatic love singer, but before that, she was more dramatic than that.
Piaf's friend, Charles Aznavour.
I remember the first time she asked me, can you find me a new way of dying? Because Piaf started with songs where always the people were dying, in the desert, in the middle of the sea, hanging themselves. So the first time she asked me to find a way of killing somebody, so I wrote her a song called Une Enfant, and the dying was very soft there. For once, there's no gun, no rope, nothing. Dying from love, which was different.
Edith Piaf's gravekeeper. I want to ask him about Edith Piaf's mother. How come she's not buried here?
Parce qu'elle n'en a pas voulu,
because she didn't want to. She didn't have any feelings for her mother, who had abandoned her.
Parce que principalement, elle a été élevée par son père.
She was raised by her father and her grandmother.
C'était un coup, il faisait des numéros de contorsionniste dans.
He was a circus man. He did contortionist numbers on a rug outside in the streets of Paris.
C'est comme ça que Edith, toute petite, suivait son père.
And she followed his father, entertaining in the streets of Paris.
Oh, elle avait dans les 6-7 ans par là.
6-7 years old, she began in the streets.
Elle faisait déjà chanter la Marseillaise.
Dansons d'Henri Comté sur une musique de Marguerite Nelly. Le brun et le blond.
Dans ma petite vie, y a deux garçons, y en a un brun et puis un blond, qui m'aiment tous deux à leur manière.
I am Henri Comté, writer for Edith Piaf, from 1942, to 1963, voilà. Bon, j'ai connu Piaf.
Monsieur Comté met Edith Piaf in 1940 during the occupation. At the time, she was staying in a house of ill repute. Her manager at the time found a place for her there because it was a warm place. It had heat and the girls were parading naked, therefore they were comfortable. It was a good place for Edith to be.
À l'époque, je n'étais pas auteur de chansons, j'étais journaliste.
At the time, he was a journalist. He was not a songwriter yet. And he was in charge of the publicity for the movie Montmartre sur Seine, her first movie.
Et Edith a été tellement frappée.
She was so taken by his style of writing that she asked him, why wouldn't you write me a song? You're such a great writer. And this is how was born Henri Comté as a lyricist, because Piaf said, you write so beautifully, go ahead and write me songs. Piaf's lover and composer, Georges Moustaki.
In my life, there is before Piaf and after Piaf. A musician, he had an appointment with Piaf, so he told me, come with me. And I went to Piaf's home. I was not a fan of her. And when I saw her, she seemed so fragile, so small, so sick, unhealthy. She was 42, but she seemed much older sometimes and much younger sometimes. It was like an old little girl. And she said, who is this guy? He said, he's a very good composer. And she said, I want to hear what he does. And I sang something, it was terrible, because I was not prepared to be there to sing. And she was moved because I was very young and inexperienced. And I was moved because she's still the biggest star in the French songs. There was a seduction of the situation. I was 23. And she said, come to see my show tonight and we'll have dinner and we'll speak about it. the result that I been there to the show, to the dinner, and I stayed for 1 year.
La dame me demandait à Edith de la guérir des rhumatismes.
He picks all the letters up from around the tomb, and there are some people that write to Edith Piaf and ask her to help them cure themselves from rheumatisms, arthritis, illnesses, because in their hearts and minds, she has become more than a legend. She has become a saint.
Eh bien, parce que paraît-il que toute petite,
she was blind when she
elle
was 3 years old.
Elle avait dû avoir une conjonctivite, je ne sais pas quoi. Et alors, elle était presque 2 ans sans voir.
For 2 years, she couldn't see.
Alors, je crois que les docteurs la soignaient plus ou moins bien. Enfin, ça, c'est
stories tell that the ladies of the night, living in the bordello of her grandmother,
ils ont fermé la porte de la maison un dimanche.
Closed on a Sunday, which was the busiest day for them.
Et ils ont donc été à Lisieux.
And they all went to Lisieux to pray for their little
Edith,
asking for her recovery.
Et il paraît que quelques jours après,
a few days later, she could see the piano, she could see the house, she could see.
Légende, je ne sais pas.
He does not know if it was a legend, but that's what was said from a long, long time ago.
C'est pour ça qu'elle avait une adoration pour Sainte Thérèse d'ailleurs.
She had an adoration for Sainte Thérèse de Lisieux.
She was Streisand, Minnelli, and Garland together, and Janis Joplin.
Charles Aznavour.
She had the voice, the charisma. She was not beautiful, but she was beautiful. She was great on stage. And she used to take care of the lights for me, as I used to take care of the light for her. No microphones, of course, in those days. She used to push me on stage, and when it was successful, she used to stop me after 2 songs, and when it was a flop, she used to say, "One more, please," to force me to face the public in any situation.
Composer Charles Dumont.
The famous song I wrote for her was No Regrets, the first. Before that, she and me, we are not very friendly.
Charles Dumont vient de m'écrire une chanson magnifique et qui s'appelle « Je ne regrette rien ».
Non, rien de rien. Non, je ne regrette rien.
I was a young composer and I wrote for many, many singers in France, famous. But Piaf, never. Every time I wrote a song for her, every time she said, "No, it's not for me, I don't like it." I was very angry against her. I give the music to the lyricist and he makes the words. And he comes to me, he said, "This song is for Piaf." Piaf, forget it. She's crazy, never. My friend said, "You can forget Piaf. She's the best." I say, "Okay, I come with you." Piaf was still in bed. It was 5 o'clock p.m. I see a little woman. You know, she was very small. She had the feet like a baby, you know. She said, "Sit down at the piano, play, and go." I played the music and I sang. "It's you, you wrote this music," she said. "Play again." And like this, I played 3 or 4 times. She said, "It's fantastic, it's marvelous, it's a hit." After that, I see her every day, every night, I must say, because she awake up between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. And she stayed awake until 5 or 6 in the a.m., you know. She lived the night, not the day.
Ça commence avec toi.
We'll be right back. The Kitchen Sisters Present is supported by Sakara, a nutrition company that focuses on overall wellness, starting with what you eat. You want to stay healthy, but you also want to enjoy your meals. With Sakara, you get nutritious meals that nourish your body without sacrificing taste. Sakara is based on a whole food, plant-rich diet, full of hydrating produce and nutrient-dense superfoods. At Sakara.com, you'll find specially tailored meal plans, gift ideas, healthy snacks, and support. This is especially great during the busy eat-too-much holidays when you're trying to keep your life and diet on track. And right now, Sakara is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when they go to Sakara.com/kitchensisters or enter Kitchen Sisters at checkout. That's Sakara, Sakara.com/kitchensisters to get 20% off your first order. Sakara.com/kitchensisters.
Un piano est mort et celle-là l'aimait. Quand elle était jeune et quand elle venait se saouler le dedans de pathétique. En se frottant au piano nostalgique.
It was a sort of a crazy house, no furniture, just a piano somewhere. With Piaf, there was not working days. She used to go to sleep late, and she used to wake up late. Suddenly, she used to say, how about singing? And she was singing. How about writing? And we start to write. How about going somewhere else? And that was it, you know? No discipline in the house. Absolutely not. We used to eat in the kitchen, always the same thing for 1 month. When Piaf used to like something, she used to say, well, how about eating that once more? I remember that for 15 years I was not able to eat escalope à la crème because I had that for 1 month and a half with mushrooms. It was too much for me.
From
the beginning of her career, her name was La Môme Piaf. That was her name, Piaf, given to her by Louis Le Play. And when this man discovered her, he gave her the name Piaf, which is a street bird, the kid sparrow. But not every sparrow, the street one, the one that starves, the one that is all desolate.
I think she was haunted. It was not simple in her head.
Émile! Émile! Quoi?
She has a very big forehead. Did you notice this? And I think it was full of many things. She was brought up in the street. Her parents did not take care like they should do. And she had been alcoholic, she had been in the world of prostitution. She didn't live at the normal hours. She was not very well balanced physically. She was full of phantoms.
Allô? Émile! Émile! Émile!
I don't love her, I don't like her, and she don't like me. No. We are in the contrary, but I was very young, you know, and I was a writer, a composer. Many people sang songs I wrote. Many. She don't like that. She won't. We wrote only for her.
She needed very much to have new songs. It was her food. She was very anxious to push me to write. Every moment, if I was on the piano, she came next to me and humming something. It was a mix of a muse and the star and something very, also very modest. When I was creating, she would leave her house to let me alone. She had such a respect that it was not the same person. And the other way, when she was in her role, she was somebody who could call you at 5 in the morning to say, I need you. You don't know why. She just want to know that you will leave her everything and come to her.
When my man takes me in his arms, life seems very rosy
Everything is so wonderful, and so on, etc., etc., etc.
La vie en rose.
You know, she wrote the words many, many times. She wrote the words from the La Vie en Rose. She wrote the words for the L'Hymne à l'Amour. During a day, she was awake 12 hours, and she sings, she works a song 10 hours.
Quand il me prend dans ses bras, il me parle tout bas. Je vois la vie en rose. Il me dit des mots d'amour, des mots de tous les jours, et ça me fait quelque chose. Il est entré dans mon cœur une part de bonheur dont je connais la cause.
Everybody was a little bit slave of Piaf. The writer was more important for her than anything else. She used to say, I would walk on the belly of my mother for a good song.
Accordéoniste Francis Lay.
Il y a des moments où elle m'appelait à 2h du matin.
They were in her house outside of Paris and she would write a few words and an idea of a song and she would give it to him and she had written the lyrics and literally locked him into a room and say, you only have 1 hour to do that. He was aware that it was a sort of a game, but at the same time, that game worked very well because he was forced to create.
Pratiquement à chaque fois, une espèce de challenge.
Now back to American stages. I was telling our audience, after that very frightful automobile accident in Paris, the great Edith Piaf. So let's give her a particularly warm up. Edith Piaf.
A gypsy once said to a lady.
The first time she was in America, it was a flop. It was the only good review she had. It was Ed Sullivan. Somebody says to her, in America, you can't sing with your little dress like that. It's terrible. They want you to see you in a French. Has to be very elegant. She came with a long dress. She couldn't wear elegant things. It was impossible. But she was stubborn. She says, I'm going to stay in America until I'm made. And finally, she said, I'm going to sing as I sing in France. Same dress, same songs. And Ed Sullivan present her in a show. Then she started at the Versailles, and the Versailles night was incredible. I saw everybody there. When I say everybody, everybody. Chaplin, Garland, Danny Kaye, that was Piaf. I'm going to stay here until I'm going to make it.
The most amazing 97 pounds in show business. When are you going to the Waldorf? Are you going there very soon?
Yes, 26.
Well, I'll see you there at your opening, honey.
Thank you.
So grand to have you back.
Moi, j'essuie les verres au fond du café. J'ai bien trop à faire pour pouvoir rêver.
I decided to leave when she triumphed in Waldorf Astoria, New York. When we separated because it was too heavy for me, and I was exhausted. I mean, without blood, without nothing. She gave everything, but she took everything. Then, when the few times we saw, she was the star, and I was somebody she discovered. She was very hurt because I left. Usually, she left her lovers. She was always obsessed by her work. She was completely unhealthy. She never slept. She slept with an injection and she wake up with pills. And it was a very big stress living with her because she was herself very stressed. Too many people around trying to sell her dope or trying to show her songs or try to get a part of her fame. Too many people around this very small, little, big woman.
Many times she said, I don't want to live if I can sing. People said, Piaf, you work too much. You must stop. You must take a rest. I said, why? My life, it's only important if I sing. If I don't sing, I prefer die.
Elle était très malade. Elle avait toujours l'espoir.
The very last days of Edith Piaf, Francis Lay went to see her in her home and she was broken and sick and ill and tired. But yet, she wanted him to bring his accordion. She wanted to sing some more. And in the midst of all that broken person, suddenly she came to life and she burst into this pure voice that he was fooled by. And he thought she was very ill that last year and she collapsed, but she would come back and she'd collapse and come back. And he, in his sort of fate for her, understood that she was just, she'll come back again. But that was the last time that she sang.
En ce qui me concerne personnellement, j'ai tout de même, avant toute chose, éprouvé un sentiment de délivrance.
When Edith Piaf left us, he said, personally, it was a great feeling of relief. Because this woman died a slow death for a whole year. Every day, her doctors wanted her in a hospital bed. But she would get up, drug herself, take a train, go to another city and sing, and come back in an ambulance every night. It was devastating for him and the people that loved her. It was a great feeling of relief. When she died, she stopped suffering.
Vraiment, sa mort, ça a été une délivrance, vous savez.
...1963, la France pleure la disparition de l'une de ses plus grandes artistes, Edith Piaf. Rongée par la maladie, elle avait fait un retour triomphal à l'Olympia.
They went to her house for 4 days with a flower to see the coffin. And can you imagine how many people that will be? Enormous. Le Père Lachaise is a big cemetery. It was Coney Island, you know, suddenly. I think it was more than 200,000 people. I left. It was very... I was disturbed by that. And now when I think about that, I think she would have been very happy of that. Very, very happy. Bruno Cocatrix, the owner of Olympia, he was in the first row, and the people were so eager to see the coffin that they were pushing so hard that he dropped in the hole.
Ils ont troué la nuit d'un éclair de paillettes d'argent.
This is the tomb of Edith Piaf, and her last husband was a Greek. He was a singer, Theo Serapo. That was his artist name. His real name was Theophanis Lamboukas. So when she died, she was Madame Lamboukas. That's what the tomb says. I showed them a lot of tombs, you know. And now we're going to see the tomb of Jim Morrison. Of course. We are from Belgium.
Vous avez les sous, vous.
As these tour guides are coming to present their stories and their legends about Edith Piaf, Monsieur Martini sits here and is being totally revolted about things that never happened, and he will suddenly stand up and say, halt it there, that is not the truth, and I am here to tell you the truth. He's followed her to the point where he's devoting the rest of his life to making sure that the truth is being said about her, that fresh flowers are on her tomb, and Edith Piaf is dead. As you see, when anybody steps on Edith Piaf's tomb, he'll be there to say, oulala, non.
Et leurs habits merveilleux pour toujours sont gravés dans les yeux des badauds d'un village endormi.
She was a strong, stubborn, funny woman. Funny woman. The strength to survive with all that sickness she had, to live almost 50 years. And she was like that in everything she was doing. Reading, drinking, singing. She was a monster. But what we call monster in France, we call sacré. Sacred monster means something bigger than life.
Mais l'ombre se referme au détour du chemin et Dieu seul peut savoir où ils seront demain les forains qui s'en vont dans la nuit.
Alors au revoir.
Au revoir, Edith Piaf.
Au revoir.
Succès.
Merci beaucoup. Je vous embrasse à tous.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
C'est fou ce que je peux t'aimer, ce que je peux t'aimer des fois je voudrais crier. Car je n'ai jamais aimé comme ça, ça je peux te le jurer. Si jamais tu partais.
The Nights of Edith Piaf was produced by the Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson and Nikki Silva, with Don Drucker for Soundprint. Mixed by Robin Weiss. Our translator was Raquel Bitton. Funded by the National Endowment for the Humanities, with special thanks to the Radio Foundation.
The Kitchen Sisters Present is produced by the Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson and Nikki Silva, with Nathan Dalton and Brandy Howell. We're part of Radiotopia from PRX, a network of independent producers and creators of some of the best podcasts around.
Je revois la ville en fête et en délire, suffoquant sous le soleil et sous la joie. Et j'entends dans la musique les cris, les rires, qui éclatent et rebondissent autour de moi. Et perdu parmi ces gens qui me bousculent, étourdi, désemparé, je reste là. Quand soudain je me retourne, il se recule, et la foule vient me jeter entre ses bras. Emporté par la foule qui nous traîne, nous entraîne, écrasés l'un contre l'autre, nous ne formons qu'un seul corps. Et le flot sans effort nous pousse enchaîner l'un et l'autre, et nous laisse tous deux épanouis, enivrés et heureux. Entraînés par la foule qui s'élance et qui danse une folle farandole, nos deux mains restent soudées. Et parfois soulevés, nos deux corps enlacés s'envolent et retombent tous deux épanouis, enivrés et heureux.
Radiotopia from PR.